Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, far be it from me to start something, but just hear me out. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Penguins. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. The Penguins take on the Blue Jackets tonight. That's a 7:08 p.m. face-off at PPG Paints Arena. It's the first of back-to-back games against Columbus, with the other one being out there on Saturday. And that, in and of itself, is not interesting because neither of these teams is going anywhere as far as the Stanley Cup playoffs are concerned. However, and I don't know if I was the only one that picked up on this, but Tuesday night, meaning a couple nights ago, when Mike Sullivan decided to go with Alex Nedeljkovic against Carolina, he did so in bucking a pretty long-standing trend of alternating his goaltenders and kind of favoring Tristan Jarry as his number one, which, of course, Jarry is supposed to be and is being paid to be. But this was back-to-back for Nedeljkovic, and this was back-to-back fresh off the blown four-goal lead in Denver, for which Nedeljkovic was in net most of it. Remember, he had to come out with a concussion spotter late. Jarry gave up the goal to Nathan MacKinnon and then was taken right out. Something feels off. I am not basing this on anything that I've heard, so I'm not presenting this as if it's some sort of hot inside information. This is just a feel. Something is off. Something happened on that Dallas-Denver trip that triggered Sullivan regarding Jarry. I don't know what it is. I can't know what it is. I'm not in the head coach's head. But there have been a couple remarks that he's made since then, including, notably, why he replaced Jarry in Dallas. There didn't appear to be a major goaltending flaw, at least not any more than whatever the norm would be. But Jarry was replaced in that game by Nedeljkovic. And when it came up with Sullivan afterward, his response was, "That's not something I'm going to get into with you." Also uncommon. He seldom elaborates on goaltending. He'll freely acknowledge that goaltending is just a separate art from the rest of hockey. And most coaches will do that unless they specialize in the position. But he'll at least say, "I felt we needed a spark," or "I felt we weren't getting enough," or something to that effect. He didn't do that. Something went off. I don't know what. But here's what I do know. And I'm going to get precise with you here. Open up my laptop and take a look at the numbers. Yeah, here they are. So far this season, Jari's played 50 games. He started 48 of them. He's 19-24-5 in those games. That means he's got 10 more losses in total than he does wins. 2.9 goals against, .903 save percentage. Nedeljkovic has appeared in 27 games. He started 22 of them. He is 11-6-5, which puts him obviously right at 500. His goals against average is virtually identical. His is 2.91, and again, Jari's is 2.9. His save percentage is .906, a tick above Jari's at .903. So there's not that much daylight there, and you can say, well, why would you be favoring one over the other? Well, you know, the starter's supposed to be better than the backup. And when the starter's signed to a five-year contract, he's supposed to be a lot better than the backup. That hasn't been the case. There also is the not-so-small matter of the untimely goal. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't need me to substantiate it. Penguins get one. They rally. Boom. There's another one in the back of their net. The Penguins enter the third period with a lead. They have something going. Boom. There's another one in the back of their net. That's been in play for too long with this goaltender. And there's another thing I'll throw out, as long as I'm already got my finger in the socket here. Nedeljkovic's teammates really like playing in front of him. They feel that he's competing. They feel that he's supporting them. They feel he's not ripping them when they screw up. And when he's back there, though there are exceptions to this too, they'll push. They'll defend. They'll do something extra for him. There isn't a coach at any level of this beautiful game who doesn't believe in what I'm sharing with you in general right now. That skaters will do a little bit more for a goaltender that they feel is doing something a little bit more for them. Now, I could be 1,000 miles off on this. You're going to know, I think, sooner rather than later, because Sullivan's going to make his announcement about who's in goal against the Blue Jackets tonight. And all I've got to say here is, if it's Nedeljkovic again, oh boy, oh boy. When we come back, J1Q. Today's J1Q comes from Tim, who says, DK, why is Mike Sullivan so reluctant to play the young guys? Is it a trust thing? Tim, there are a lot of different ways to answer this. The first way to answer it is you're right. He has that reluctance. He's had it all along. Now, he himself, when this issue comes up, and it does, and I've brought it up with him as well, gets kind of cringy. He gets defensive. And he'll point to examples of younger players that he's embraced right off the bat. The best one is probably Marcus Pettersson. When Pettersson came in the trade with Anaheim, he was 22 years old. And he was just thrown out there and he just did everything he was supposed to do. Now, Pettersson, as I'm sure you know by this point, is a really, really, really smart individual. This is someone who's got a head for the game that's always been beyond his years. He might as well be a veteran in his mid-30s. That's how much information he accumulates and then puts into motion when he's on the ice. And good for him in that regard. But guess what? That makes him the unicorn in this equation and not the norm. What is the norm? Well, let me put it a different way. The other night, I think we would agree that Jesse Puljujarvi had his strongest overall performance in Pittsburgh. Is that fair? I mean, even if you take out the goal, He was just all over the puck. He was really assertive. He was banging bodies. He was going to the net. He was winning 50-50 pucks at an almost freakish rate. And that sustained attacks. And it was just a really, really good thing. You're going to have to trust me that that big smile that you saw after his goal, that was only part of why he was feeling the way he was. He knows that he's healthy, that he's found a way to recover from that double hip resurfacing that most people don't recover from, certainly not professional athletes. And he knew he was just doing good things on the rink. One of the assessments that Sullivan had about Puljujarvi after the game, and I'm sure Sullivan thought he was saying this in a good way, was that the coaching staff trusted him to be out there with the lead in the third period because they felt he'd done enough good things. Now, I'm sure when that comes out of his mouth, that sounds perfectly okay. When I hear it, and maybe when you hear it, I'm thinking, wait a second, you actually thought about not using him? You thought about not having him continue to go through a regular line rotation? Because what? Because the game means something? Because the lead means something? Because the players that you have out there instead of him were part of a 4-goal blown lead 2 days earlier? Like, that's the gold standard you didn't want to disrupt? But that, I think, Tim, more than anything, answers your question. That is how he thinks. This is a head coach who was born into a Stanley Cup champion. Sure, he helped make it happen. And then he helped make it happen again the following year. But that's what he knows. That's his experience of what creates success. And in some ways, that's good. In some ways, that's bad. We saw that with his, well, I was going to say his predecessor, but a couple in advance when Dan Bylsma. Bylsma was born into the same situation. Took over at midseason, won the cup later that same season. And there was his way of doing things, the get to our game way, and it never changed. It never adjusted. And he was not all that different when it came to younger players, even though the team that he won with was almost entirely younger. And I don't know that that'll change. Kyle Dubas has made remarks recently that he sees Sullivan as someone who could very much oversee a rebuild or a reload. And I don't know that I share that view. I think a lot of Sullivan, but I don't think that. I don't see what could influence him to alter the way he thinks on this front when he can watch Puljujarvi or Valtteri Puustinen or whoever it might be playing as well as they did the other night and pondering whether or not it would be a good idea to bench them through the third period. You know, in favor of what? Nola Chari and Jeff Carter and Matt Nieto? Come on. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Penguins. We're going to do another one of these tomorrow.